This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is André Debus, the third, author of Townie. Listeners might be familiar with some of his earlier books, including House of Sand and Fog. Welcome to our program.
Thank you for having me, Diana.
You're a much decorated author, a Guggenheim Fellow, a Pushcart Prize, an Oprah pick. Why did you decide to write a memoir?
A complete accident, and it's reluctant as all get out. I was writing an essay about baseball, and the question fueling the essay was, why wasn't I playing baseball as a kid? I got into baseball through my sons, who, when they got into it, I realized that I didn't know anything about it. And I actually started to coach my oldest son's team when he was about 8, and I didn't know how to play. It was actually comical. You know, I'd yell to some kid to run to first, and another kid would say, it's against the rules, coach, you can't. Oh, come back, and then the kid would be out. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote this essay, exploring why wasn't I playing baseball as a kid? And then, 500 pages later, I wrote what I was doing instead of playing ball, which was, living in poverty with my single mother and 3 siblings. And that's where it started.
That's where it started. You're the townie of this memoir. When you were growing up, what exactly did that moniker mean?
Well, it's interesting. Townie is not a real understood phenomenon in Europe in a lot of countries, but it is here. What that means is I lived in a blue-collar town, a half-dead mill town back in the 70s, and across the Merrimack River was Bradford, where there was a college, liberal arts college, where my dad taught. And so the townies were the kids who would go to the college to, date women and party, and some of the townies went to school there, including me. So I was a local, which meant usually blue-collar, inarticulate, and dangerous.
Ooh. Well, your book opens up with a sneaker story.
Mm.
How old were you and what happened?
I was 16. I had just started to lift weights to change my body from the small, sedentary body it was. And my father was a runner, and he invited me to come run with him one summer day. And I didn't have any sneakers, so I borrowed my sister's shoes. She was asleep. And I realized as soon as I put them on, they were a size too small, and the soles were worn. But I couldn't tell my dad because he gave a big chunk of his income to my mom to support us, and it just was never enough. And so we started to run, and I'd only run once before, and that was when I was 8 years old. I ran 2 miles with my dad. So I was in weight training shape, but I wasn't in running shape, and we ended up running 11 miles. And after the first 2 miles, my feet were really killing me, and I couldn't tell my father, and I couldn't quit. And when I finally, when the run finally ended about 10 years later, I took the shoes off, and all my toes were bleeding. But I was really happy I'd done it, and I learned something about, what you can learn from pain and punishment. It was good.
What years did you cover in this book?
The memoir really covers, I'm glad you asked that, because it's not an autobiography.
No, it's not.
It seems to me an autobiography is a life story, and who cares about my life story? If I were a general or ex-president, maybe, but... So a memoir can, focuses on one slice of life. And in mine, it covers really about age 9 or so, when my father and mother divorced, and we went from poverty to deeper poverty, to about 29 or 30. And then I shoot ahead briefly, but for the most part, it's that.
In the last line of your acknowledgments, you write... Your dad told you, don't wait till your mom and I are dead before you write about us, son. Just go ahead and write.
Yeah, easier said than done.
Do you feel you held back at all?
A little bit, but not much. No, I have to say, the hardest part of writing this, accidental memoir, and let me speak about that too. I mean, my fiction happens this way too, and I know it does for a lot of writers. I mean, the books I've published have been the phoenixes that have risen from the ashes of what's failed, and you always end up writing something you didn't see coming, which I love about writing. So the hardest thing about writing this memoir was I felt that I was old enough now to write honestly about the boy I'd been, flaws and all. But I was surprised that I had to write about my family, and for the first draft, I kind of left them out. And my editor read it and said, I don't know much about your family, but it seems there's stuff going on in that house you're not talking about. I said, yeah, I don't want to violate their privacy. And I realized I had to go deeper into it to write honestly about the boyhood I had. So I wrote about, the fact that my brother was being sexually abused by a grown woman, that he was suicidal, my sister had been raped, she was selling drugs, my mother was depressed, my father was absent, on and on. And that draft was much more honest. But writing about my mother and father was very difficult because I think, as we know, your parents can put cigarettes out in your arm and you won't tell on them. It's just, we're loyal to our parents. And to some degree, we should be. Not to that degree, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So your question was, did I write honestly enough? I think I did. I allowed myself to write about their shadow from the emotional lens of my memory 35 years down the road. But I tried to be honest while being fair. And that's a tough balance. It's a tough balance.
What'd your family think?
They have hitmen out on me. I'm on the run right now, actually. You know, they've been very good about it. My older sister read it, and the only thing she said was, she's a national leader in domestic violence prevention. She works closely with the Obama administration. She said, did you have to put in the big bag of marijuana? I mean, I have an important job. I said, honey, it gives you street cred. It's good. You were 16. It's okay. My brother has been very generous. I was particularly worried about him because, you know, sexual abuse and suicidal ideation is very private, and that's his wound, and that's his story.
Right.
And by the way, my strategy there was, okay, I'm only going to write enough about him to be honest about my existence, but I'm not going to keep going. So if I'm walking by bedroom at 4 in the afternoon on a Wednesday and I hear the sounds of sex, I'm going to put in the sounds, but I'm not going to go on the other side of that door because that's his business and that's his story. But he was most generous. You know what he said to me?
What'd you say?
He said, when I told him that I'm going to be putting in a little bit about him, and it's very private, but I felt I need to write a more honest book, he said, well, brother, I would never want to step on anybody's tube of paint. I just about cried when he said that. And my mother was very generous, too. My younger sister, though, refuses to read it. And that's fine with me. She says, you know, it was a painful childhood, and I prefer not to go back. She said, and that's fine.
Are you still friends?
Oh, yeah. What, my sister and I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't bother me a bit. As a matter of fact, people don't have to even read my work. I have a best friend who's never read my work.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends said to my dear friend, how can mm-hmm. you be his buddy and never read his work? He says, hey, you have your Andre, I have mine.
When did you first get published?
My first story was published in February 1984. And it was actually a story I wrote in Boulder, Colorado, where we're sitting. And it was published in Playboy magazine, and I was 23 years old when I wrote it, 24, 25 when it came out. So I've been doing this a while.
And what was your day job then?
I was actually working as what's called a correctional technician one at the Boulder Community Treatment Center. Working with convicted adult felons from Canyon City Penitentiary. And I mainly took the job because it was a night job and I really liked to write in the mornings. And the main reason being, the Irish writer Edna O'Brien has this great quote. She said that she likes to write in the morning because then she goes from the dream world to the dream world. And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And O'Brien has also said that if she can't get a writing session done in the morning, if she's writing in the afternoon, she has to take a nap first to clear all the stuff.
All the stuff of the day.
Yeah, isn't that
cool?
Yeah.
What brought you to Boulder?
A beautiful woman. Frankly, it was a woman I was dating back on the East Coast, and she transferred mm-hmm. to Colorado University, and I tagged along.
Has your fame as an author changed your writing habits?
No.
Do you still use a pencil?
I use a pencil, Ticonderoga number 2. Although a friend of mine, a film director, gave me some Palominos, which were really great, but I don't know where to get those now. Yeah, I built myself a soundproof 5-foot by 11-foot by 6-foot jail cell in my basement. It's soundproof. It's a cave. Nothing on the walls. Tiny little window with a blanket over it.
No books.
No books, nothing. I go in and I sit and stare at a blank wall and I sharpen the pencil with a U-knife from my carpentry apron days, and I write longhand pencil and me composition notebooks, and that's how I do it.
How many hours in a session?
Well, you know, when I'm kind of dreaming through those first drafts, it's anywhere from 90 minutes to 3.5 hours tops, and then I'm done. And you can get a lot done in an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then if there's one of those days, I can actually get in an afternoon session, but most days I don't. I go to the gym, clear my head, wear all the hats we wear in life. But when I'm revising a book, I can spend 10, 12 hours in that room, and I do, just working through the whole thing.
And so, in a typical session, how many times are you sharpening the pencil?
Oh, probably 30. But you know what's good about it is, there's a great line from Goethe. He said, do not hurry, do not rest.
Well, thank you. My guest is Andre Dubas, author of Townie, published by W.W. Norton. This is Diana Cordier with Book Talk.
Thank you.
You're welcome.